British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? BFBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops.
This time, we're having a brew with the Royal Navy on HMS Tamar.
Has everyone firstly got a brew with them?
I've got a wet, yeah. I've got one.
What's your wet of choice?
I've tea white warm or tea white honey if I'm feeling healthy.
Mine's a tea white nun, otherwise known as a Julie Andrews.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I'm just a tea white nun as well. Can you all introduce yourselves and tell me what your job is on board?
Yeah, I'm Chief Petty Officer Fitzgerald, one of the chief engineers on board. There's two of us currently that serve on board here. My role on board is to look after the HVAC systems, so it's the air conditioning, fridges, ventilation, as well as all the other auxiliaries like SDPs, toilets, bathrooms.
Oh, it'd be pretty miserable without that.
Yeah, definitely. My name's Leading Seaman Fawcett. I'm the only leading seaman on board, but I've got support from two buffers. Buffers are chief bosun's mates in the seamanship world. So they look after the part of ship or the admin when it comes to the sea safety. So I assist in that a lot of the time on here because of my lads, my able seamen. They bridge watch keep, so I drive the boats a lot, quite a lot.
Yeah. I'm always launching the sea boats with you in the sea boats. So, yeah, so I'm one of the officers of the watch, Sub-Lieutenant Milam. I'm in charge of sort of the ship when we're at sea, reporting to the captain, just keeping the ship safe and conducting the navigation and also launching the sea boats quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit.
So obviously at the moment we're not really on formal operations, we're not deployed yet, but we've been conducting lots of training. What kinds of things like are your kind of like key ticket highlights so far since we've been on board from what we've been up to?
Myself is definitely working in the last sort of month or two a lot of heavy boat driving, going out and working towards endorsing the other lads driving the sea boats, because we struggle with our program at the minute to get people endorsed so they can drive the boats themselves. Just we have to be on the right course, we have to be on the right tasking, so that's my main job at the minute, is to just bring the lads up to scratch and get them to a state where they can eventually become leading seamen.
Right.
Well, for me, I was one of the first engineers on board to join the ship's build process. It's still owned by BAE and the contractors. So we've been one of the engineers on board that's learned all the systems, brought the ship to sea, training all the new engineers on board as well, all our junior mates, and get the ship where it is now. So we're ready for sea, safe to be at sea, and now getting ready for deployment. So it's been a achievement for all of us.
Yeah, and it's been a busy time. I mean, I joined in September and we've pretty much not stopped. I think it's fair to say
that
we've tried our hands at many things over the last sort of 6 to 8 months. Can you explain the role of HMS Tamar, or what you believe the role of HMS Tamar is?
At the moment, I think we're kind of a training ship, so we've got the ability to bring on board Royal Marines contractors. We do a lot of work with outside sources. They use our platform for their training. We've had Gravity Man on board recently. Unfortunately, I wasn't on board for that, but he came on board, and that was good publicity for the Royal Navy, the Royal Marines.
So for those who might not understand what Gravity Man is or might not have seen the VTs, how can you explain Gravity Man? You were here.
I mean, I'm mad into Marvel, so the best way to describe Gravity Man is pretty much Iron Man. he came on for an experimental phase to help with the boarding teams. I think they want to eventually incorporate that into the boarding. It's quite amazing seeing how easy he can launch off the ship and launch off the boats and be received into the ship, into the boats.
And obviously anybody who wants to see that video, there's lots of videos that are up on our HMS Tamar Twitter, at HMS_Tamar, if you want to have a look. But also it was covered by the BBC, and there's been quite a bit of media out about Gravity Man. Unfortunately, I also wasn't on board. I don't know why.
We both
missed out.
It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I've seen the videos and I was very jealous. So when we go foreign, I think it's safe to say that our role will change quite a bit, and we won't be necessarily doing so much training, it will actually be on proper operations. And I think the recent videos have sort of explained what Tamar is really built for, so the counter-piracy, narcotics, escort duties. There'll be lots of diplomacy kind of work, defence diplomacy, constabulary duties, but all of it kind of comes back to those being able to generate ourselves, and as you said, like having the ability to away the sea boats, get people out to go and, you know, influence in places and provide support for, you know, humanitarian aid or whatever else that we might get tasked with. It all kind of feeds into the fact that we've got to constantly train people, and so the last year has just been a major exercise in training and keeping current.
Yeah, being being La Homme, which is the leading hand of a mess, it's sort of my job, along with the other leading seamen, to gather as much information on how the lads and lasses are feeling in the mess. And the biggest push from the mess is to get out the door, get out there. And we've trained for a year now, like you said, even longer for some people, and they just want to put that training to good use when we go foreign.
It's not, the training we do, it's not just part of ship, it's not our responsibility on board. We also do firefighting roles on board, because obviously it's seen as no fire brigade. It's also for piracy as well, so we have like the response force, which you're part of, so if we do have to go out there for any piracy, so you can respond and react to them as well.
Yeah, and it's training everybody down below to be able to respond, because it's
it's
not just the weighing the boats, and it's the what's going on internal to the ship.
Yes, when
we do that, that's so important. You know, we can't go anywhere without the engines and without the fridges, and
exactly,
we need to be able to feed people. Very miserable quite quickly if we haven't had anything to eat.
Very miserable.
So the ship's company on Tamar, how would you describe the ship's company to somebody who's not been on a ship? Is it like a normal Royal Navy ship's company, or?
I'd
say yes, the humour's the same. From one ship you go to, we do have a very subjective humour. We all get on well together, and that's carried on from one ship to another, depending on how many ships you've had. Because we're experienced, we bring the younger ones up with us, so they tend to get our humour, they muck in and they get on with it.
I totally agree. I'm not done as long as Chief at Sherwood over there, but I've had my last two ships were carriers, so I've had carriers and destroyers, and coming to this as my first proper small ship, if anything, the humour's definitely got better.
Yeah,
the relationships on smaller ships is a bit more relaxed. It can be more relaxed than it can be on the frigates and destroyers. Partly because our roles are different, and we're smaller, so you need to have a better family orientated relationship with everyone.
Yeah, and I think
we have to live and work together.
We're definitely a family, you know, we all know each other. That's the thing. I suppose if we were on a bigger ship, we wouldn't necessarily know everybody. You might recognise faces, but you wouldn't know them to speak to. And I think that's quite a big change. And obviously, for me, I came from a stag ship. So a stag ship is a ship which has only got female officers, and down below, or no, yeah, female officers in them. In the up top, but then there's no sort of junior rates or sort of chief PO level with any females down below. So from that point of view, I came from a ship with like three women in the wardroom, and I was one of a very small minority. And now on here, there's, you know, lots of, we're 25% female, including Tamar. And it's, you know, it's quite a nice change. And obviously, as well, I think it's quite clear that we're a young ship.
Very young ship.
We have got a Falklands veteran, but other than that, I mean, our average age is 27, which is pretty startling. Tamar was the first ship to have a new paint job. Can you tell us about that?
So it's, I believe it's the first time since World War II. The ship's had dazzle paint. It's good, it's fitting for us. We were the fastest generating ship since World War II as well, so to be the first that gets this dazzle paint is in recognition to all the hard work that we've done as well. So yeah, it looks better than I thought it would do, to be honest. I wasn't a fan of it at first. I thought, oh, what's the point? It's rubbish, it doesn't do anything. But now we've got it, I actually do. I'm a fan, I like it. I do like it.
Yeah. What do you think?
I actually love it. When it first got mentioned that we was going to have it done, again, I was a little bit sceptical. But when the painters came in to start paint, the first lieutenant got me in his cabin and asked me what I think, and as a junior eight, I thought that was really appreciated that, to see what the junior eights are thinking as well as the senior eights and the officers. So it was really nice to be pulled in to say, look, do you think this is... And most of the junior eights really like it, some a little bit skeptical.
The other
still.
Good thing is, as well, when we first got it done, we are the first ship to have this done since World War II, but normally you walk through the dockyards and you walk past ships, you ignore them, but because we've got this dazzle plane, other members, other sailors walk around the dockyard, they stop, they look at it, so it's admiration now. And
yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's
there's
identity
been,
as well,
there's been some
it?
Good sort of comments, you know, about what which other ships are going to get it next. There's a little bit of jealousy, I think, within the fleet.
Yeah, I've got a friend on Scott, HMS Scott. He messaged me straight away saying, are we going to get that? And I was like, absolutely not. It's just for the batch twos at the minute, so that was good.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Good feedback.
There was a recent announcement concerning Tamar and our future operations. Obviously, we've known for a while. But what can you tell those who might have missed the announcement or who want to know a little bit more about what we're going to be doing in the future?
I'm really excited. Again, it's my bread and butter with the counter-piracy. And we're going out there, obviously, to show a large presence over there. We previously, Tamar's been linked with Hong Kong and places like that, so... To be out in the vicinity of the Far East and to see...
Becoming a global navy again, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, my previous deployments have mainly been the Gulf and Africa and stuff. So to get out to somewhere I've never been recently is amazing.
Yeah, so it will be amazing to be out in the Indo-Pacific region. And as it's not just a short-term deployment, this is a forward basing of a ship. Which means that as well, I think we're kind of the envy of a lot of the fleet at the moment. You know, people want to be on Tamar. They want to be able to say that they're going to be, you know, out, going to places that most sailors don't go to routinely.
With the ship being deployed, it's going to be away for 5 years as well. So it's going to be at least 5 years before it comes back to the UK. Well, 10 years, 5 to 10 years before it comes back to the UK. So it's going to be interesting.
And it'll bring new challenges, I think, from an engineering point of view, navigationally. We'll be navigating in places that we haven't navigated before. Again, conducting seaboat operations in probably some busier waterways and some more remote, warmer waterways.
Yeah.
So
the ship's not been tested yet in warmer climates, so. Neither is the ship's company as a whole, so it's going to be a challenge in itself just for that.
Yeah, definitely. let's talk about why we're unique. I think we kind of touched on it. We've talked about the dazzle, and we talked about the young age of our ship's company. What else do you think makes Tamar unique to
currently the greenest ship? Currently the greenest ship the Royal Navy has, so that allows us to go global, come alongside anywhere and operate anywhere around the world because we meet all emissions, IMO regulations everywhere.
Yeah, so that's...
So it's a big tick in the box for the Royal Navy and for us as Tamar. It's like a 98% reduction for the environment.
Wow.
Which is really good. So there's other ships that we still hold, and they have like grey water. A lot of the older ships, the grey water used to be discharged overboard, and I've had previous ships where we've not been allowed to go alongside certain countries because of the protected waters, whereas Tamar and the other batch twos were able to hold that grey water on board, which allows us to go alongside anywhere.
Yeah,
so we're really green,
and that's great because I mean, so we'll be able to visit some pretty exciting places that previously we wouldn't have been able to just based purely on the environmental side of things. And obviously, the green sort of credentials don't stop with Tamar. The Navy is going to be making a move towards greener ships throughout the fleet, but we were the first ship that the Navy gave that to. So I think it's a pretty amazing ship to have been personally drafted to at this time. And as they bring out more of these green ships with the reduced emissions, I think that's quite an exciting time, and the Navy's evolving and we're at the forefront of that, which is great. Okay, so who's got the coolest job?
Me.
Oh, go on then.
I maintain the fridges or look after air conditioning. That's all provides cool air, doesn't it?
So, oh.
That or the chefs, because they go in the fridges.
Oh yeah, I mean, cool when they're doing a freezer master, that is a bit cool.
Yeah. I'd have to go and leave to the force.
He loves his job. Look at him.
It is. It's at the moment, so we can look at him and laugh at him when we're operating off of Scotland, where it's cold and windy and wet and rainy. But when we go to other climates, it's going to be hot. He'll be out in his shorts and t-shirt, and I'll be jealous then. So it's
yeah, exactly.
The old speedboats.
Yeah, I think you've got one of the coolest jobs. I mean, maybe it doesn't feel like it when we away seaboats at lunchtime, but you know.
I literally have my fork in my steak and then that's it. Away port and starboard seaboats.
Off we go. So what do you guys do on your downtime, both on board and when you get some time ashore?
For me, on board, we have a good gym on board. It's a really good gym that's there for all the sailors to use throughout your day. It's just to chill out, to be able to go to the mess. We've all just had our mess improvements done, so the mess is now becoming our home, as opposed to just what it was when we first come out of build. So we're starting to get ownership of everything else. It's just nice to relax with your shipmates on board.
And a big thank you to the Royal Marines, Royal Navy charity for that, because they supported us with that. Because as the ships come out of build, they're very clinical, and it is nice to make it a home. Obviously, you don't get loads of, you know, your own space, but the space that you do get, you want to make it your own and be able to relax when you come off watch or you come out of the sea boat and you want to warm up and have a wet.
You do. So yeah, it's starting to become ours now, as opposed to what it was when we first took it over. So
yeah, definitely. And what do you do to relax a bit?
So I've tried to incorporate a bit of boxing, our whole boxing circuits for a lot of the ship's company, junior rates, senior rates and officers. Everyone's attended, and we just have a bit of fun on the back end, the flight deck, when we're at sea, and it's not too rough, so we don't end up punching people in the wrong place. But no, it's really just getting out there in your fizz rig, and just having a bit of fun, and getting some fitness in there as well.
Yeah, and it's not always sort of actually organised sort of circuits and things like that. Sometimes we just go out and do some flight deck sports, play a bit of bucket ball. So it depends what we're doing. And obviously bucket ball, for those who don't know, is kind of a cross between, it's netball, but you can move your feet. There's a little bit of an element of rugby when you're trying to scramble for the ball, although that can be quite painful on the flight deck.
And the net can move as well.
So the bucket is held, and the person holding the bucket can move it to...
On the queue outside of sickbay.
The person holding the bucket can move it so that they can catch the ball, but obviously they're being, defended guarded. So it's a bit of fun. So obviously we've kind of touched on it. What time have you guys spent on other ships? I mean, I'm guessing there's a varied experience here.
Yeah, so I've been in 16 years. So I've served on Type 42s across the world, Falklands. And again, flight decks, we still do hockey and volleyball and all that down there. So the weather doesn't deter us from doing sports on the upper deck. I've had minesweepers. They was all stag ships as well, like you said earlier on, Mum. And then 12 years I was there. But yeah, I've enjoyed every ship I've been on. And so far this one's proven to be probably the best I've had.
Really? Yeah, that's really nice to hear. And what
about you? I joined 2013, January 2013, so it's eight and a half years. My first ship was Illustrious. It was a rabbit in headlights there.
She's got a big flight deck, right?
Yeah, very big flight deck. And then I moved on to the Destroyers. I really liked the Destroyers layout, and I see quite a lot of countries on the two Destroyers I was on. And then I moved back to Carriers. I went to Queen Elizabeth, which, the living conditions on Queen Elizabeth were amazing. The gyms were massive. We had a boxing ring in one of the gyms, but you could see, you didn't know the whole ship's company. You wasn't part of a family. You was just another small cog in the wheel.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely fair to say, because I've been on Queen Elizabeth as well, and it's a really, really good experience. And you do feel very proud of the Navy when you're on Queen Elizabeth. It's an amazing...
we've got a pipe. The ship's got to be reminded that they cannot leave until they have received their vaccination.
Okay, so the pipes in the background, you might have heard them. So we're...
Leave in accordance with daily orders.
So there goes the ship's company. They're allowed on their weekend leave now. So the pipes in the background are how we run our ship's programme. But obviously, you get actually a lot less pipes on Queen Elizabeth. Because you're trying to protect people's sleep, because it's such a big ship's company, you've always got people working, and you've got your, obviously it's designed to do lots of flying, so you've got to look after the guys that are being going out flying. They've got to have their 8 hours sleep, so that's really important. You might have heard in the pipes that we're getting vaccinated. That's one of the pre-deployment preps that we've got to get ticked off, so that we're ready to go when we deploy to the Indo-Pacific. So we'll have to go and get ours in a minute. Hopefully they're not too painful.
I've had the first one.
You've had yours?
Yeah, I've had the first one.
There we go. So life at sea. what do you think of, you know, life at sea? Do you enjoy it? Do you prefer to be alongside?
Oh, I love being at sea, personally. I think...
I do. For me, there's nothing better than wake up in the morning, you go outside for a cup of tea, and just see the sea around you. No hustle and bustle, the traffic, cars, other people trying to push past you to get to work. It's just, it's peaceful as well. So for me, the Royal Navy is about being at sea. I love it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, looking out the window on the bridge, I feel really, really lucky. And from a point of view of... You know, the other things, we take it for granted, but we see dolphins every day. I mean, are they just attracted to us because we're the greenest ship in the Royal Navy? Or, I don't know, we take it for granted, but most people don't see that every day.
No, they don't.
And you can just be walking around doing your normal job and you look over the side of the ship and there's just a pod of dolphins having a play. I mean, they come and play with the seaboats as well.
Oh, they love the seaboats, yeah.
So, yeah, I think life at sea is amazing and I think we're really lucky. In terms of the weirdest thing to happen so far, what do you think the weirdest thing that we've had happen? There's some giggling.
In a junior eights mess, I think I'm not obliged to answer that.
Loose lips definitely sink ships.
We're still quite a new ship, aren't we? So we're inexperienced yet with the weirdest stuff. I can't think of anything that's weird that's happened.
No, not just yet. No,
we've been quite fortunate so far, haven't we, to have a few good stops. We had like London, which is good publicity again for the Royal Navy. Allow people to come on board and showcase what we can do with outside sources to like the governments that come on board.
All regulars, junior as far as weird goes, form an orderly queue outside of Spithead.
Nothing weird as such that's happened.
No, I don't think so. It was pretty cool though when we weighed the anchor in the Spithead anchorages and we brought up a...
Oh yeah, we brought up a really old jack, a Union Jack.
Oh really?
Right, on the anchor.
Like, on the anchor, that's pretty cool. There's a picture of that somewhere. I'm sure that's on Twitter.
Yeah, that's definitely on Twitter.
Page. I didn't know about
it. Yeah, it was a bit of a...
old material, like really old. Like.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So what is your best advice for someone who is listening to this podcast and thinking, I'm thinking about joining the military? What would you advise them?
If they're thinking of doing it, they've got nothing to lose but to try. Because if you don't, and then 10, 15 years down the line, there's something they'll end up regretting. So I left school when I was 16. I applied to join the Royal Navy because I was so young. I got scared and I didn't cut them open strings for my mum. So I joined about later at 25. I do wish I'd done it when I was younger. Mm. But yeah, I'd say if they think about it, do it.
And it's a second family at the end of the day, isn't it? So yeah. I think that those initial nerves of joining young, I think it's safe to say we've had some... one of our younger sailors was 17 when he joined.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's now 18. Well, he'll be coming back from watch leave and he'll be 18. But, you know, it is a family. It's a second family. And definitely something, you know, people should consider is that you're not leaving home forever. It's a good opportunity. I mean, the recruitment process is quite long. I personally found that quite... You know, you've got to stick with it. You've just got to accept that it takes a while. There's lots of checks that they've got to do, medicals, etc. But when you get there, personally, I think it's been well worth it. I've fully enjoyed my experience so far. And in terms of why the Navy, well, I mean, senior service.
It is a senior service.
So,
yeah,
it's for travel. The bond you get with other shipmates.
It's not just that. The bigger picture as well is the education, the experiences you get. It's...
Yeah, and we're always on operations as well. I think that's like we get tasks and our plans change all the time and we're kind of at the forefront and we're very quick to move from one thing to another. So we're doing exciting things every day. So I think we're getting kind of near to the end of this podcast, but what's your most memorable moment in your time on board? And, you know, you might need a little bit of time to think.
For me, I joined this ship, as I said earlier on. It was still joining the build process.
Mm.
So to be able to join the build process, we was living in hotels, coming on board, working till like 1600, and then going back to an offices, working till like 8-9 o'clock at night, putting all the hard work in. So the memorable thing for me was the very first time we took it to sea. Because for me then, all that sense of achievement, all that hard work had put in up to that point, it paid off, and you finally get the ship to sea. So
I think there's a lot of pride in the ship.
Yeah, there is.
From people who were here from the start. I mean, I can't claim that I was here from the start, but I know the people that a lot of hard work went into getting her to sea, and obviously during the COVID pandemic as well. So
it
was hard being away from our families. And I mean, there's a question, you know, that most people will be asking, do we miss home when we're away? And I think it's fair to say that most of us do miss home, but it makes it more special when we're at home and that valuable time with our families. I mean,
definitely. Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I was going to say in a year's time, and after ship's company and whoever sits here then, when the ship's been deployed, they've actually got their first run of shores and their first deployments. Their memorable moments have changed, wouldn't they? And there'd be something different.
Yeah, and they might not be missing home so much when they're in the Far East.
I think a lot of people will be staying out there.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoying it. And so the living situation on board, how does it compare to life at home?
There's no comparison, is there, really?
No. But,
there is no comparison, but for this brand new ship, it's the best I've had. It's comfortable, two man on suite cabins, so I can't grumble with what I've got on board. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. This is one of the best I've had. I'm in a six-man cabin, but with a watch rotation, there's not always six men in there. There'll always be, I think we got three and four, so we'll always have a spare pit to put extra storage on and then hide at rounds. but yeah, I think it's really good for the size of the ship.
And for the people who don't know what rounds is.
Rounds is where a nice officer comes round and inspects what we have just cleaned. So we have to obviously maintain cleanliness on ship to stop spread of diseases, etc., and just even as simple as a common cold. So we clean around the ship, we get allocated a time, normally within an hour. We get all the junior rates together and the senior rates and the officers, and they go and clean their respective parts. Then whoever it is that day, normally the first lieutenant, comes round with his white glove and inspects for dust.
Tells you it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Tells it's not good enough. And then the boats get piped away and then they come back again.
And it's also about keeping things secure, isn't it? Because obviously living on board a ship, that's one probably difference from being at home to being on a ship. You don't have to put cling film over your wet to keep it in your mug when we're in a rough sea state, and you don't have to make sure everything's sort of stowed away. No. You can leave things out on the side and they don't end up on the floor.
Yeah, the amount of times someone hasn't secured something and their nice new mug goes flying because of the sea state.
Yeah, it's a good learning opportunity. Lastly, why did you join the military?
In all honesty, I joined as a backup plan while I was at college. Now I'm here. But no, my dad was in the military, and I've always wanted to be in the military. I didn't know which way to go at first. I mean, I'm from Lincolnshire, so people normally would think, well, join the RAF.
You're a bit landlocked for the sea.
Yeah, and I heard that they didn't travel as much as the Navy, and that was my biggest thing. I wanted to go out and see the world, and I've been lucky to be on ships that have done that.
So for me, really, my dad was in the Navy. He didn't do very long, he did a couple of years, but I'm from Chatham, which was once upon a time a big naval dockyard as well. It's the opportunity. It's the opportunity to travel, to see the world, do a lot of things that lots of people in a normal job wouldn't see. Education, it's just there. Anything you want at your fingertips. We offer adventurous training, where you get to go off around the world.
Sub-Lieutenant Honey,
do skiing, scuba diving, bobsledding, anything you want to do, it's just there for you to do, and it's all paid for.
Yeah. That is amazing. And I mean, for me, joining the Navy ruffled a few feathers because I'm from an army family, so they were a little bit bemused as to why I wanted to join the Navy. But I think it was the same reasons. I wanted to do things that weren't the standard, and I think I wanted the trips, I wanted the travel, and it's pretty cool driving a warship day to day. Every day is different. We haven't got an office job. And I think it was the office job. We've talked about that you don't have to commute to work in the morning. You wake up and you're at work and you can have a cup of tea and look at the sea. And it is, we're very, very lucky from that point of view, I think. That's why I joined the military. I knew that I needed something else. I didn't want the normal, it wasn't even a 9-to-5, it was an 8-till-6. And then you've got the commuting. And it's just, I think that that's the difference really for us. And I think we're now coming to the end. And so I'd just like to say thank you for having this nice chat with me about enjoying
thank
a brew or wet.
Yeah, wet, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye
everyone.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.